Good morning and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guide and Magazine, Green Turtle Bay Resort, Marina Life, Richardson's Map Tech, Passage Maker Troller Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you, whether you are dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit us at our website, www.greatloop.org. Thanks, and enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone. As Beth said, this is America's Great Loop Cruisers Association weekly blog radio show. With us today are Beth, our marketing coordinator, and Steve, our techie, and I'm Janice, the director of AGLCA. For those non-members out there, there is actually a Great Loop, a continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America. It goes through Canada Heritage Canals, down the inland water system, river systems, and around the Gulf, and back up the East Coast again. Our organization is was designed for people who share a sense of adventure and curiosity. We give information about the Great Loop, and we provide a forum for people to discuss their loop and ask questions. Our guest host this week is Captain Patrick Hopkins. Beneteau's 34 Swift Trawler is doing the Great Loop, and it's the boat is called the Greatest Loop. It's now in Charleston, almost finishing up the loop. Captain Hopkins is the technical director or coordinator of the trip, and he also captained the boat on its maiden voyage from Norfolk to Annapolis, and then took off from Annapolis, Maryland to New York City. If anyone has any questions or comments that they'd like to share with us during the show, we have a toll-free number that you can call into. It's 877-497-1815. We'd love to hear from you, so feel free to call. Okay, may I call you Patrick?
Yes, you may.
Okay, tell us, how did the whole thing start off? Were there any adventures before the trip started?
The adventures before the trip were more setting the boat up for the trip, you know, as far as electronics and sponsors putting gear on the boat, which was which is kind of the background. It takes a lot to get the boat going before it actually leaves.
As with any Great Loop, there's a lot of planning.
Patrick?
Absolutely. That's the that's usually the savior. If you've planned correctly, it makes things bumps along the way a little bit easier.
Patrick?
Did you have any mechanical failures before you left?
What was that?
Did you have any mechanical failures before the trip started?
Yes. On my way back from Norfolk, we lost the impeller for our generator, which it wasn't a big deal. We didn't need the generator on the way up, but it was nice to have that problem before the trip started so that it was taken care of and basically brand new as the boat left.
Patrick,
was it a brand new boat, Captain?
Yes, it was a brand new boat.
Yeah, that's so your time frame was compressed to get all the gear on it.
Yes, we got the boat about a month and a half before its first trip, which was down to Norfolk.
And it had no electronics on it when you got it?
It had electronics, but I had to swap out those electronics because
okay.
Raymarine had given me a thermal imaging camera and their newest hybrid touch screens.
Okay. With that, you know, if I was doing it and bought the boat, I could take a year to do the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. Our crew over here at AYS, they were phenomenal. They worked very long hours and a couple Saturdays and Sundays just to get it done.
Yeah.
As technical coordinator, Patrick, what were you in charge of?
I'm basically in charge of all the maintenance that happens to the boat and all of the captains. When the captains take over the boat, they call me and we go over the list. And if they have any questions, my phone, I can tell you the first couple months or a couple weeks, my phone rang a lot just for normal questions, you know, how does this work, why isn't this working, you know, little things on the boat because people aren't as familiar as I was with the boat, being as I spent the month and a half here with it and going through everything and all of that, I had a very good knowledge of the boat. So all the captains would call me throughout the trip as things wouldn't work or they couldn't figure something out. So that's that's basically what I'm in charge of, is kind of the safekeeping and keeping up on maintenance as far as oil changes, the motors, generator, things like that.
Now, you mentioned captains with a plural. Explain how the trip was done. In other words, one captain didn't take it around the entire loop.
No. I had we're using our dealer network for it. I personally did the first leg because it was really the close to us and really our area of responsibility here, and then we handed it off to our next dealer, and it kind of went dealer to dealer. And some of the captains were actually those who worked for magazines such as Power Motor Yacht, and they would take a leg and just so they could do a story on the trip. Soundings did my first leg, and then we hired a captain for the Mississippi just due to insurance reasons, and matter of full disclosure, they wanted a captain who's done the Mississippi before, as it can be a very challenging environment.
How many captains did you have in all?
I've got to say there's probably 15 to 20.
That many?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a long way around.
it's easy
to change out through a lot of captains. But probably by the end there will be about 15. And we're getting most of the captains together at Annapolis Boat Show for an open forum discussion for people who have questions about the loop.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Patrick, are you free to mention your sponsors? Do you know who they were?
Yes, Ray Marine is a big sponsor of ours. Cummins, Cummins Engines and Generator, Cummins Onan. Cummins is the motor that's in there. It's a six-cylinder, 425 horsepower motor, and it's a single. The big deal with that, especially for Cummins, was to show that you can power a 34-foot boat with one motor and have good speed and good fuel economy and still do a trip like this.
What speeds were you able to maintain?
It seems like when there's good weather, we're averaging some 14 to 16 knots.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic.
And that's moving along for a boat like this.
Uh-huh.
And, I guess my question would be, this was basically to let people on the Great Loop and the dealers on the Great Loop and the towns on the Great Loop see the Beneteau, but at 15 or 16 knots, you really didn't get a chance to really visit the towns and stay and look at the scenery too much.
No, it's interesting. We had my trip especially was to New York, which obviously is a great, you know, this is a great stop on the loop. This is, you know, kind of the hub of America, if you will. And we got to do so much in New York, and we even met someone who had been a part of the 9/11, basically what they call the boat lift, where they were getting all the people out by boat. He had evacuated a couple hundred people, and we got to sit down and have coffee with him in the morning, and he ran the boat that was the photo shoot boat, and we sat with him, and he told us his story, and it was amazing. I mean, we are meeting amazing people along the way. It's just kind of in a different – it's in a different style than the loopers would that, you know, take their time with this and do it, I would say, properly. Not that ours is improper, but it's expedited for, you know, reasons of sponsorships and sale of the boat and things like that.
Embarrassing question, but did you ever run aground?
Yes, up on the Trent Severn Waterway, a captain ran the boat aground. Only hit the propeller, and we had a slight vibration over 8 knots, so I told him to, you know, basically set him up with a place in Orilla, and had called them in advance and said, you know, it'll take him a little while, but he will be there, and I think it was a day I had him planned out. And so he kept it under 8 knots and kind of chugged his way along, and they pulled the boat out of the water, no damage except for every blade on the prop was bent back out of a 5-blade prop, so that was interesting.
Wow.
But we had a spare on board, which turned out to be great because they just plopped the – they put the spare prop on, and then I had the bent prop shipped to Chicago. And in Chicago, we had a prop shop fix the prop and had a messenger service bring it back to the boat when the boat was over at Chicago Yacht Club.
Amazing. I guess you carry quite an inventory of spare parts.
I'd say that was the biggest spare part. The other thing we did was we made sure that there was a shaft in the States, not on the boat, because it's some people do that, but that's a little much when you've got as much packed on the boat as we do.
Mm-hmm.
The shaft was really important to have in the States so we could ship it anywhere if we need it. But I did have all spare impellers and generators, oil, things for the engine. It was a good toolkit on board, that's for sure.
How many people people were on the boat at one time.
At one time during the trip was
you
probably.
Had your captain. I would imagine you had a first mate.
Yes, I had a first mate, and then I had a couple on board that was doing the article for the magazine, and it was pretty. It wasn't too bad. The sleeping quarters worked out well because you can use the second stateroom, which is a bunk stateroom, and there's a pull-out couch that actually you don't need to take apart. You just kind of pull it right across the salon there, and that's where I stay. That's where I prefer to stay.
Uh-huh.
It was very comfortable for me. I'm an early person, so I think I woke everyone up around 5 o'clock every morning, but that's a matter of keeping schedules. Get up early, and you know, if there's any bad weather, it's better to do your time – tough time in the morning and you know, kind of slow down at night.
And most of the lays were there for people?
I would say 2 to 4 for the most part. The boat's always had at least 2 people. I don't think it's ever been single manned on any part of this trip.
The galley on the 34 Swift Trawler, is it possible to cook a decent meal every night?
It actually is. It's got a double burner stovetop. I made breakfast for my crew in New York City after the photo shoot. So 2 journalists, a photographer, and one of the people from Beneteau Power.
Uh-huh.
And it seemed, I mean, I fed 4 people and myself pretty easily. It wasn't too bad. You have to be used to the space, but it's a galley up. There's some good room in there, but it's as long as it's just you and the galley and you can get everyone to sit down and relax, that makes it a little bit easier.
Uh-huh. Great. The Mississippi tends to intimidate a lot of people. I know you have some thoughts about that.
Yeah, we had a professional captain for about half that trip. He picked the boat up in St. Louis. And the travel on the Mississippi was a lot smoother than I thought it would be, because I was making a lot of phone calls when the boat was on the Mississippi to make sure everything was going properly. And it became that if you called ahead to let the lock folk know that you were coming through at a certain time in advance, they could be ready for you. And that seemed to be the biggest thing. The traffic on the Mississippi it's a lot of commercial traffic.
Uh-huh. And commercial traffic has priority in the locks, don't they?
What's that?
Doesn't commercial traffic have priority in the locks, or is it first come, first serve?
The commercial traffic, for the most part, has priority. They kind of call... I guess what the captain was telling me is they call boats like ours and, you know, fellow loopers, they call the boats RVs as opposed to boats on the Mississippi, because they're kind of just passing through. You know, those guys are up and down the Mississippi all the time and for business. It's their own, you know, commercial highway there.
Uh-huh.
So that was interesting to hear. And then there's that.
Okay, we'll break for a quick commercial. Beth, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, let's go.
Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center lies at the mouth of Broad Creek, near the intersection of the Rappahannock River and Chesapeake Bay, surrounded by the lush green forest of Stingray Point in the community of Deltaville, Virginia, just yards from the open waters of Chesapeake Bay. Dozier's Regatta Point can best be described as classy coastal. The southern-style veranda with its incredible sunset views and white rockers is a favorite gathering place, both at sunset to watch the boats go by and in the morning when a full breakfast is served. If you're looking for an affordable oasis amidst the hustle and bustle, you don't need to look any further than Dozier's Regatta Point. For information, call 804-776-8400. Dozier's Regatta Point is a proud Admiral sponsor of AGLCA.
Okay, let's get back to it, Patrick. Tell us about weather stops. Were there many on the trip? Or did you? I know you made your schedule wonderfully, but did you have any times where you were down for a few days?
Well, I had times when instead of crossing Lake Michigan, we waited, and I had the captains, they kind of just moved down the shore. They weren't comfortable with me going across. The plan was to stop in Milwaukee, and we didn't get to stop in Milwaukee, which was unfortunate, but it was kind of... It was their cause, the captains of the boat, saying, "Today is not the day I'm crossing the lake. It's not gonna happen." And they had every right to do that. So that was good to at least see the responsibility. What they did was, since it was going to be a tough day, they took a couple hours and went out and just made it down the lake a little bit and kept pushing south, which kept them on target for Chicago, It was just going to miss our stop in Milwaukee, which was fine.
Okay.
It was a little. It's always give and take when you're trying to keep a schedule. We shouldn't have. I mean, we should be. We pick our days for the most part. On my trip up from Norfolk, on the maiden voyage, that was a tough trip with 6 to 8 footers. But it was a good. It was a good lesson learned. We really learned how the boat handled in those conditions. At least I could say I'd been through those conditions, so if someone called me in those conditions, I could reassure them that they were going to make it through all right. But, I mean, all the captains of the boat were really are really confident captains. They've been doing this for a very long time, and it was pretty easy. The judgment calls made by the captains was really only the one in Lake Michigan, and it was definitely the right call.
I think that's any experienced boater knows that there are days that you just know it's not worth taking a chance just to stay in port and make up your time later on. Tell us about the people. You mentioned the captain in New York who had been involved in 911. Were there any other people that really stood out in your trip, or I guess all of the captains' minds?
Well, my trip was another one, was a good one, with Cape May, New Jersey. There's always, if you've ever stopped in Cape May, it's always an interesting crowd depending on which marina you stop at. We stopped at Utch's Marina, and we had Dockmaster No there. That's what they call him, is Dockmaster No, because that's kind of the answer he gives to everyone for everything is no.
We have Harbor Host in Cape May, Richard and Carol Miss. They've done a few of our blog radio shows on Cape May. I know it's an interesting place.
Yeah, I liked Utch's Marina. It was a good time there. We stopped for lunch, and I let everyone off the boat, and I kind of stayed behind. I turned the AC on, and I took a little nap because it had already been a 12-hour day. So it was nice to catch some rest there. As far as other people, we have to, all the other captains have met people and have told some good stories to me, but it's mainly the people are very receptive, especially the Mississippi we found. People are very receptive to the boat and what it's doing, and, I mean, I think at one of the marinas, I think in St. Louis, maybe Hoppy's, they had let them off to and given them a car to go restock the boat. And, people really kind of go out of their way to help boaters in their travels, which is, it's nice to see.
Great. So in general, to people who say, the trip is not possible or it's a ridiculous idea, what would you say?
I'd love to do it, the whole thing myself. Being a part of this has been fun, but it's too bad I couldn't have been the captain for the whole trip. We'll post the fuel numbers, which will be interesting to see. This year was a better year to do it because fuel's recently been down. It's been down a lot. So, it's down a dollar a gallon here anyway. I mean, that would save you a lot over the course of this entire trip. But it's definitely something you could do. I mean, breaking it up to a long time would be, it would be interesting. It'd be something that, it's a great way to see the world, or at least this part of the world. I think it's an enjoyable way to do that.
And what is the most critical element of a successful loop?
I think it's all in the planning. As long as you have a solid plan together and can stick to it, there are going to be bumps in the road, but as long as you know how to bounce back from that or have a plan for that, I mean, with backups and things like that. I mean, if you're not in a rush, you can always, if you hit a bump along the way, you can always take some time out of your trip. That's not an issue. Obviously, we didn't have that luxury on this trip. But if you plan properly and put the right backups on a boat and know who to call, it makes things a lot easier. We have the luxury of a dealer network, so we always have service along the way. But that's good things to know is, where's my next service stop? Who can fix something if I need something fixed? That's all the things that went into the planning, and this was done by, I don't know if you've met him, but Axel Trainer,
we met Axel in Norfolk.
Yeah, Axel, he is amazing. He did a lot of work to get, as far as the trip and where the boat's going to stop and when it's going to be there. He's phenomenal. He had all that set up. If I needed to know the next marina because I needed something fixed, he was my first call, and he knew exactly where to go or where the next stop would be or the closest stop with the right equipment.
Fantastic.
So that worked out really well.
One thing piqued my interest, Patrick. You mentioned a camera. Is there footage of the Greatest Loops trip?
No, the thermal imaging camera is something that Fleur and Ray Marine have been working on for a long time, and they use it in a lot of different elements. I think it was just kind of their kicker to throw it on the boat. It's very expensive, but it's neat. If you ever want to do any night traveling, that's really a great tool to have on board. But there is no action. There's some footage as far as individual videos that people have taken on their trips, done by soundings and prop talk. They all have videos of the trip in certain aspects, but not it's not being fully taped all the time.
Okay, just curious. Well, Steve, do you have any questions?
Nope, I already asked mine.
Beth, any input?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, it sounds like it's really, really an exciting trip by Beneteau. Steve and I are going to Charleston tonight to see the 34 Swift Trawler and to celebrate St. Bart's 25th anniversary in conjunction with the Beneteau being there. So anyone who's in the area, Beneteau's 34 Swift Trawler will be at the City Marina tonight. And thank you so much, Captain Patrick.
Thank you, Jan. It's been a pleasure.
I think we'll close for now. Anyone who's interested in joining Great Loop, our webpage is www.greatloop.org, and we welcome new members. And also visit us on Facebook. That's it for now. See you next week, everyone. Thank you.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.